Take your Bibles and go to Numbers. Of course, you all know where that is because you all memorized your Bible so well. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Someday you ought to just read through Numbers. Much of the book of Numbers was written by a cocked-out prophet named Balaam. And in Numbers chapter 23, we'll get to it in a moment. You see, God's Word is so wonderful in that so many times in God's Word, it doesn't only tell us what we're supposed to do or what we're not supposed to do, but it always tells us how to do it. It always shows us what we're supposed to do. And I think that's really loving. In the world, many times we hear, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. But rarely do we have answers as to how we're supposed to do something or what we're supposed to do in a given situation. God tells us how to renew our mind. We're to replace the negatives of the world with the positive of God's Word and put them in our minds. And we control our thinking and stay our minds on God and His Word, and this will help us also. In life, we're concerned about upgrading the quality of our minds by changing what we put in it. That's the only way we're going to it's the only way I'm going to upgrade the quality of my mind is by changing what is already in it. And to do this, we got to recognize, first of all, God and who He is. And the way we do this is by studying God's Word so that we can find out who He is. And here in number 23, verse 19 is a very familiar scripture to many of us. It says, God is not a man that He should lie. Well, there we have a lot of information right there, don't we? We find out who He isn't. And many times when we find out what people aren't, it gives us a lot of information as about what they are. God is not a man that He should lie. It says in the Word of God that all men are liars. God is not a man that He should lie. He's neither the son of man that He should repent. God doesn't need to repent. Hath God said, and shall He not do it? It's a wonderful figure of speech. And this particular figure of speech is a question asked already knowing the answer. Has God ever said anything, and shall He not do it? Well, what's the answer to that? Will He do it?
Yeah,
sure. Or, hath He spoken something, and shall He not make it what? Well, okay. Is stealing good?
No.
Then is God the author of stealing?
No.
Why? Because stealing isn't what?
Yes.
Is death good?
No.
Then is God the author of it?
No.
Why?
No.
God is not a man that He should lie. He's not going to ever lie. He'll never let us down. I let you down a million times if you hang around with me long enough, because I'm human. You'd let me down too. But God will never let us down. He's more sure than any breath we take. John 4. Seems like we haven't been together in a year. Missed you guys. Love you. Thank God for you. Where'd I say we're going?
John 4.
Who's got it?
Me.
Lance, read verse 24. Stand up and read it, please.
God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in the spirit and in truth.
The word A is what? Is it in italics?
A? No, is God
is. Is. Well, God is spirit. You can't see Him, taste Him, touch Him, smell Him, or hear Him from the senses. God is, and they that worship Him must worship Him how?
Spirit.
The only way to get to know God is by the Word of God and by prayer.
No.
How else are you going to get to know Him? What's that? That's prayer.
Yeah.
So There's only two ways I know you can get to God. The Word of God and prayer. And the reason it's the Word first is because we need to know what the Word says we're supposed to pray for. Well, if you look at these dumb carnations. If we keep looking at them, they're going to die pretty soon. They've hung on good for 2 weeks. These are believer carnations. 1 John 1. First John chapter 1, first epistle of John. Verse 5 it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is what?
Light.
God is light and in him is no what?
Light.
There is God is light. He is the absolute epitomization of light. He is light. It's just wonderful. He is absolute light, and in him is no darkness at all. You know why? Because God's not a man that he should lie. He's spirit. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is what? Love is of who?
God.
Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is what?
Love.
God is the epitomization of love. And that is very important to understand. Because if we ever have a problem, maybe somebody doesn't love us like they're supposed to, or somebody doesn't do to us what we would have them to do, we still have God. He's the greatest lover. And we can let him wrap his arms around us and tenderly love us. Sure, he's not a person, but he is spirit. He's better than a person. He's love. He's the epitomization, the actualization of love. He is total love. And he is light. Total light. No degree of darkness. Not one iota, not one pebble. Figure speech. Not anything. He's all light. All love. And no man can know God without knowing what? His Word. How else are you going to know him? Look at a plant. Joyce and I, and I'm glad she's here tonight, my lovely wife, who we communicate so wonderfully. Remember I told you all that? Remember how I said we talk every day? And stuff, how we fight every day? But we come from a place in California, far, far away. And when we grew up in a very weird time in our nation's history. It's for the first time anybody had long hair, except, you know, George Washington and those guys. And there was a real fight for quote-unquote freedom, and there was a real quest for quote-unquote truth. And there was this group of people in Berkeley, California, and I don't remember if you were around hanging out with me yet or not. Remember that place that believed in clouds? And they had a great... In Berkeley, and had great food. You went to school. I mean, Reverend Steve Zaletti, he went to school there in Berkeley. That place, and it had great food, but people believed in the clouds. They were cloud people. And like when it was cloudy out, they thought God was happy. And when it was clear out, they thought God was mad at them. And this was like a whole thing that was happening out there. Hey, the only way to get to know God is through his what?
Word.
Amen. Cloud people. I tell you, I've seen some good stuff in my day. That was a classic, though. 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's great. That's right. Steve was in Berkeley. Get somebody to back up some of these stories. People have looked at me for years wondering if I was telling them the truth or not. Cloud people, yeah. That was... That whole street, Telegraph Avenue in the late 60s and early 70s, was a classic. Boy, you had the Christians, the Moonies, the Cloud People, the Way Ministry, everybody. What'd you say? I don't want to get into that again. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, "All scriptures given by inspiration of God," and given by inspiration of God is the Greek word. Anybody remember? Theonoustos or Theopneustos, depending on which research department we talk to. Theonoustos. theopneustos, which figuratively means God what? God breathed. Does God breathe?
No.
Why? Because he doesn't have a nose. He's spirit, right? All scriptures given by inspiration of God, it's God breathed. And it's what? It's profitable. Profitable means to be beneficial. It's profitable in one of three ways. Doctrine, and that means when we're believing rightly. Reproof means when we're not believing rightly. And correction, which means get us back to believing rightly, which is instruction in what?
Right.
Or right living. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable, beneficial for believing rightly, when not believing rightly, and back to believing rightly. It's fantastic truth. God is not a man that he should lie. Everything he said he'd do and everything he does is good. All scripture is beneficial. Boy, oh boy. What a great truth. You realize how few people in the world know that this is even in the Bible? That their center of reference is experience and feelings for the most part. Feelings come and go. You can get a feeling in a psychiatrist's couch. You can get a feeling in somebody else's couch for somebody else. But they come and go. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And it's that Word of God that is God-breathed. It's given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter 1, bless your heart. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. It says, knowing this what?
First.
Not second, not last, but knowing this what?
First.
That no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private. And that word private is the word idios, from which we get the word idios. Idiot. His own. The prophecy, look at it. No prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. Men didn't will this prophecy into being. Just like today, when people think they need revelation and they practically beg God for it, and there's no revelation and they wonder if they're screwed up, can't they just thank God that it wasn't there? If it's not there, it's what? If it's there, then it's what? Thank God. Either way, thank God. Get all uptight about revelation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. It's fantastic truth. In John chapter 4, please. John 4. To set the background of what's going to be shared, we got to go to these foundational truths. John 4, verse 32. That's wrong. John 8 should be, probably. Somebody read John 8, 32. Who's there? Stand up at Lance, let somebody else have a chance. Sorry. Love you. Appreciate you. You do it. You are too psyched. Go. Go. John 8, 32.
Yes. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
What makes people free?
The truth.
That's it. It's not a drug. It's not a drug. It's not some sexual fantasy. It's not some emotional thing. It's not even feeling good. Truth makes people free. Period. End of story. Either this is true here, or this is untrue. Nothing makes a person free except the truth. I've seen it in my lifetime where people were quote-unquote questing for truth, questing for peace, questing for love, questing for this, but they went to the wrong source. They went to drugs. They went to sex. They went to freedom. They went to... You know what they ended up in? Disease, confusion, insanity. I saw it happen to a whole generation of people that are my age. I saw what happened. And you know why? Because nobody taught him. If somebody would have taught him by God, he would have believed the word. A lot of them. Probably. Who knows? And I know that's when the word really started moving in California. Was during those days when people were looking. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Boys and girls, kiddies, gals. People are looking again. And it's been about 15 years since they've looked. It's true. And man, you guys right here, sitting right here, are the ones that got the answers. Don't even allow them the privilege to talk. Give them the word. Shove it up their nose. Shove it up their butts. I don't care what you do, but give them the word. They need it. And they're asking questions again. Why this? Why this? Why AIDS? Why abortion? Why whoa, 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 whoa? Why everything? Boy, you just open the word and say, look, it's the word. We're in the midst of a great spiritual breakthrough in here in Jersey. And you guys are going to be the ones that either do it or don't do it. That's why I'm glad I've been with you for 2 weeks. I just see it. I see it big. Bigger than you do. John 17. Verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Jesus Christ was the only man that ever walked the face of the earth without sin. You realize that? Let's just think about that. Most of us sin before we get out of bed, for crying out loud. He didn't sin ever. And yet he was tempted in all ways. And here in this wonderful prayer in John chapter 17, he says to his heavenly Father, sanctify them. Set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God's truth. And by studying God's word, we can flood our minds with the positive of God's word, which in turn generates positive results. We're always in what we're giving out. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy, right after 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn on that air conditioner, will you, brother? Is it on? Turn it down to 4. Just kidding. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto your twig coordinator.
No.
Study to show yourself approved unto your dad.
No.
Your mom.
No.
Study to show yourself approved unto whom?
God.
This word study is fantastic. You ought to do a word study on it some year in your twig. It'd be a great one. Spudazo. Don't ask me to spell it. Ask one of the eggheads here. But it starts with S and ends with O. And there's a Z-A in there. So spudazo, I don't even know if that's how you, but it means an exert, a diligent effort. And that's not just some passive reading. It's study. You work it. You search it. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? Amen. We never need to be ashamed to rightly divide the truth. We never have to be defensive. We never have to be defensive concerning the truth. You do never be defensive. It's one of the things the adversary will try to get you to do. Because truth needs no what? It only needs witnessing to. And like I shared the other night, no man deserves to hear it twice till everybody's had the opportunity to hear it how many times?
Once.
Amen. Move on. There's others out there. Love you. God's word becomes effective and effectual in our lives when we believe it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. God's word becomes effective and effectual in our lives as we believe it. Really, after we're born again, that's the only requirement for us as believers, is to believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the book before Timothy. Verse 13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of what? Which effectually worketh also in you that do one thing, and that's what?
Believe.
The word of God works effectively and effectually in those of us that believe. Isn't that great? And you know what? You don't have to be educated. Doesn't hurt to have an education. Don't even have to be good looking. You don't even have to wear the right clothes. You don't even have to have the right hairdo. You don't even have to say the right thing. All we have to do is rightly divide God's word and believe it. Isn't that great? Man, what a day. Colossians 1. This is such a great word. It's so true. Colossians 1. In verse 9. Daphne, you read this. Read 9 and 10. Stand up and read it. Read it like you believe it.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Without the knowing of God's word, we can't have the knowledge of him, and we cannot walk worthy. It's just not available. We can't find the knowledge of God without knowing his word. And we can't walk worthily as we would want to without knowing God's word. We also need to continue to recognize our position in Christ as sons of God. The other night, well, actually the opening night, we read some of these scriptures. We'll just read them again for our edification. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 2, it says in 1 John 3, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I don't feel like we're now the sons of God. Well, I don't know. We're now the son. Beloved, now we're the what? We're sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're sons of God now. We don't have to wait around. Ephesians chapter 2. We could just stay in Ephesians for a year. Ephesians chapter 2. Dr. Worrell used to do that with the core. He'd stay in one book for a whole year. Sometimes 2 years. I remember Romans was 2 years, I think. Right?
Right.
Right. Right, Joyce? Or do you remember that far back? Was that 2 years? Okay. No comment. I'm in trouble. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship. And the word workmanship is what? We're his masterpieces. Holy mackerel. I don't feel like it. We're his masterpieces. Don't slap God in the face with our feelings. Let's be blessed that we're somebody's masterpiece. My dad used to be really proud of me. Oh, I mean, he still is, I guess. But he was really proud of me because I played sports and stuff. And I can remember what happened to his heart when I didn't make it professionally. He just really went through a lot of changes. It hurt him. And then I got into dope, and oh, God, my dad's a big, burly man. And he cried when he realized I was using drugs. He thought my life was over with. And you know what? He was pretty much right. It was done because I lived my whole life for just one thing. And then after a period of time, I got into the Word, and he thought I lost my mind completely. But our Heavenly Father thinks we're his masterpieces. Always. Amen. Isn't that great? Maybe our mom or our dad gets mad at us. Maybe our friends, maybe even believers, cop attitudes sometimes. You know what? In God's eyes, we're his masterpieces. Ephesians 1 verse 4 shows us how we were called, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what? What?
Love.
Before him in love. He is love, remember? And he called us in that love. Before the foundations of the world, said, Helen, Mary,
born again.
Chandra,
born again.
Johnny Kino,
born again.
He called us. What are you going to do with that? Huh? Believe it, right. Right. Sit. The word. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 1. I always get there quicker because I know where I'm going. 1 Corinthians 1. Who's there? You there? You there, Carrie? All right, read verse 30 and verse 30, please. Oh, wait, verse 30. You in Revelation?
Yes.
Where are you? All right, good. Verse 30.
But in him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and justification, and redemption.
Thank you. You know, you just want to jump up and down. Look at that verse. He's made unto us wisdom. You know, what to do in a situation. What the world wouldn't pay for wisdom. And yet we find it here in God's Word. He's made unto us wisdom. And righteousness. The ability to stand before our Heavenly Father without any sense of guilt, sin, condemnation, shortcomings. And boy, doesn't the adversary attempt to do that. But we can stand before Him and say, Father, love you. Thank you. God, love you. I know I screwed up. I'm sorry. Thanks for your love, your forgiveness. Thanks that I can move ahead with my life. In sanctification, He set us apart from the adversary and his dominion to the greatness of God and what He's made available to us through Christ Jesus Christ. And redemption. Holy mackerel. We just need to continue to look at our position in Christ Jesus as sons of God. In Romans 8, it says we're more than conquerors through Him that what?
Amen.
In Colossians chapter 2, you can write these down. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 10 it says, you are complete in Him. I wrote a song once. Did I ever tell you about that song?
Yeah.
Here's how it goes. I am completely, 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 completely. I am completely, completely complete in Him. I have to play that for you. Thinking of Black Sheep, you can sing right along. And you know what? We are. That's a true psalm. Simple too. Greatest music, simple. For those of you music heads. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 27, let's read this again because it's a mystery to the world. Colossians chapter 1, where is Colossians? Chapter Philippians. Verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, where?
In you.
The hope of what?
Glory.
Boy, there it is. In all the annals of God's grace and glory, man, remember that? Amen. It's the one body that you and I belong to, that we have Christ in us, and that's what unifies us, is that Spirit of Christ in us, the hope of glory. In our eyeballs, behind our eyes, behind our ears, behind our nostrils, even. Behind our private parts, even. It's Christ in us. Philippians 4, we're in the neighborhood. Verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Woo! Man, oh man, oh man. Look at Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you which was also in him.
Right.
Well, how about that verse? What are you going to do with that? Amen. What kind of mind did Jesus Christ have?
No mind.
Did he have to renew his mind?
Yeah.
did he live in an atmosphere that was totally conducive to the adversary, like we do? People say, yeah, it's changed. Well, not really. Concerning the adversary, there's no new thing under the sun. And you know what? He accomplished it. He renewed his mind perfectly. And you say, well, yeah, he was Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're right. And he was also tempted in all ways, yet without sin. I've never been tempted in all ways. You know that? Neither of you. I've never been tempted. Well, I could say a few things that would shake your heads, but I haven't been tempted in all ways. He was, yet without what? And we're exhorted to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Fantastic truth. We must keep ourselves positive by looking at the perfection of God's Word. That's right. We keep ourselves positive by looking at the perfection of God's Word. Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever we do, we should consciously do unto the Lord." Those things that we do, we should do unto the Lord. I'll never forget. I continued to smoke dope after I first got into the Word for about a year, until an ordained minister in the ministry really, he knew, I mean, most of us smoked dope because nobody showed us why it was wrong. And this guy came up to me and he says, "You know, Jerry, I know you're smoking pot." He says, "I think it's wonderful." He says, "The next time you smoke pot, brother, why don't you just go in the closet alone with God and smoke pot?" I said, "Come on, I can't do that." And he walked away. And that was it. There was no pot after that. I wasn't doing it heartily unto the Lord. I was doing it just to escape and get away from my own senses. I wasn't doing it unto God. I was doing it unto myself. And man, when I saw that, it really helped me. Now I'm more conscious. When I look for parking places, I look for God. God wants me to have a best parking place. I'm going to get a best parking place. God wants me to get a good deal on a pair of pants. I'm going to get a good deal on a pair of pants. And I'm not going to compromise and cater to what the world says I have to pay. Anything like that. See, we do what we do for God, otherwise we should consider not doing it. Isn't that great? Isn't that beautiful? Boy, the more we're conscious of our Heavenly Father, and the more we do what we do for our Heavenly Father, the less we'll sin. And the more we'll renew our mind. Isn't that great? And you know, the Word of God is so simple that almost by sheer logic, you know right from wrong. It's almost bred in you. I mean, is it right to love?
Yes.
Is it wrong to punch somebody in the nose for no reason?
Yes.
Is it right to give?
Yes.
And then when we know the Word of God, good Lord, then we should just consciously do the Word of God. It's fantastic. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto who?"
The Lord.
What?
The Lord.
Are you reading it?
The Lord.
I want everybody to read this together on the count of three. One, two, three. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men." Amen. Who do we do it heartily unto?
The Lord.
Your twig coordinator.
No.
Amen and amen. You don't do it for them. You do it for God. If I ask you to do the Word of God and you do it, then that's great. Proverbs 3. God's the deal, you see. If at the end of this seminar you're talking about me and not the Word of God, then I've done a crummy job presenting the Word of God. I've done a lousy job. We should lead people to the Word, not to us. You understand that? To God. Proverbs, where?
3.
You're right. It says, verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine what?
Heart.
So shalt thou find favor and good understanding, bless you, in the sight of God and who?
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto our own wonderful, brilliant understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Hey, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll what? Amen. Is that what God's word says?
Yeah.
We need to constantly continue to trust in our Heavenly Father for healing, for abundance, for anything that we need, for our hearts being healed. It's our Heavenly Father that accomplishes these wonderful things. And our understanding is very, very meager compared to what God's understanding is. Is that the right word, meager? You're as sure as I am good. Matthew chapter 6. We just need to trust our Father. Matthew 6. Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 6. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means the things of this world. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat or what shall you drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and body than raiment? This is Jesus here talking. This is great. Behold the fowls of the air. And he was probably outside as he was teaching. He probably pointed to some birds. He says, look at those birds up there. Guys, hey, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth those goofy birds. How many ever seen a starving bird? And then he says, yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And I know that one of the biggest opportunities for all believers that want to love God and want to believe him is condemnation occasionally. We get down on ourselves. Well, I know in my life I've had problems with that at times, but I have never compared myself to Woody Woodpecker or Tweety Bird. I've never thought of myself less than some stupid seagull. How about you? What a great example, Jesus. Look at the birds. God's feeding them. Aren't you much better than a bird? Oh, Jesus is really digging them there. Isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
And what's he challenging? These 32s keep falling down. What? Challenging their what?
Believing.
Amen. That's great, man. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you dudes, by taking thought, can add one cubit to a stature? Okay, on the count of three, let's grow a foot. That's what Jesus said. That's what he said. A cubit is a measurement. And the measurement basically from the elbow to the top of the thing. He says, which of you, by taking thought, can add a cubit? Okay, on the count of three, guys, we're going to grow a foot, okay? One, two, three. I love that. Jesus is good, boy. And why take ye thought for your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field. And he's looking over there. First he looked at birds, then he looks at these beautiful lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little what?
Believe.
Now, can you imagine being with Jesus Christ and being on the other end of that? First, he gives you the bird rest. Aren't you much better than they? Aren't you? Jesus is talking to you now. Then he says, okay, on the count of three, grow a foot. Then he says, oh, ye little believers, you pathetic believers. That's what he told them. That ruins the image that religion gives us of this Jesus that had a halo on his head, doesn't it? He was a man and he got down. And the thing that he challenged believers on all the time was believing. Oh, ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what's the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? You powerful God, you guys should know this. Well, let's see. Let's see somebody here besides some people. Let's see. So who knows? Okay, good. You go home and look in your syllabus and find out. I ain't telling you. Seek ye first the kingdom, and there's a big difference.
Oh, the kingdom of God.
Oh, yeah, sure. Look in your book.
No. Seriously. The kingdom of God is where Jesus Christ was the king. Was the king while he was here on earth.
Close. You've got it mixed
backwards.
Up.
Yeah. The other way around?
Yep.
Kingdom, king. And then dumb as rain.
You guys look it up in your syllabus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I ain't going to tell you. Seek ye first what? Kingdom of who?
God.
And his righteousness. And all these things shall be what?
Amen.
Amen and amen. Go to Colossians chapter 3. I sure love you. Now, Vossi and Kano, you guys make sure you do that in your twig so they know. You understand? Will you do that? Will you?
Yeah.
You're messing with me, man. He's going. Please do that. It's real simple. Lance knows it now. Colossians 3, too late. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which setteth, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set not your affection or your thoughts on things above. Set your thoughts on things above. Thank you. I heard that voice. That's right. Somebody else should have said no besides my wife, though. Set your thoughts on things where?
Above.
Is that where we're supposed to put our thoughts?
Yes.
Yeah, on godly things, not on things on the earth. Amen. You see, we're also to feed the mind a positive diet. We just feed it the Word of God. And then we live in that love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation. You see, the love natural man experiences is like a rose. Many times it's beautiful to behold to the eyes, but then when you touch it, you prick your hand on the thorn and get hurt. The love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation is beautiful to look at, it smells wonderful, and it's wonderful to behold. And it's great to hold in our minds and to walk on in 1 John chapter 5. Sure love you guys. You're just God's masterpiece. Chapter 5 of 1 John, and in verse 2 and 3, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his what?
Amen.
Amen. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God, that you have a feeling.
No.
What?
No.
What is the love of God?
His commandments.
And it's very difficult to keep a spulakapuka, isn't it? Didn't we handle that in another session?
Yeah.
What is a spulakapuka? For the most part, that's what the Word of God is to people. A spuhuka has a... Right? They don't know what it is. They said, oh, you go witness, and you say, oh, do you believe the Bible? Oh, yeah. What's it say? I don't know. You believe Bible is God's Word? Oh, yeah. What do you know about it? Nothing. You believe in God? Yeah. Do you love God? Yeah. Do you walk in the love of God? Yeah. How? I don't know. That's what people know about God. Do you realize that? Most people know less than what I just shared. Which is something. Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 14 of Colossians chapter 3 it says, and above all these things put on charity, the love of God and renewed mind and manifestation, which is the bond or the cohesiveness of perfectness. It's that thing that ties everything together, is that wonderful love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 2, it says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We have Christ in us. And when we walk within the love of God, and this is something, you've all seen it, if you've walked in the love of God for 1 minute, people will notice you. They'll want to be around you, or they'll really be against you. They'll really notice you. And the people, you just smell good, you look good. I mean, it just blows people's minds. If we're walking in the love of God, it blows people's minds. You don't even have to say anything. It'll blow people's minds. You know, yesterday, an incredible thing happened to my son. He's in this baseball league, and he's a tremendous player. He's the best pitcher in the league by far. And they won't let him pitch now because he's too fast and too advanced, and if he hits somebody, he might hurt him. They won't let him do it. And I thought a lot of things about it, and then I thought, it's spiritual. It's really something. Because all those coaches know me, and they know my son. It's okay. He took it great and got two hits yesterday. He'll just play. It's fine. But you know, it's interesting, at the beginning of the year I didn't want him to pitch and he didn't want to pitch and they made him pitch. People notice you and they pick on you sometimes. They try to. But once you recognize it, you can see it and just move ahead and be cautious. Walk. Because you never get hurt if you walk in the love of God. Never. And for sure, one thing that will happen is you won't hurt others if you walk in the love of God. Now, you might hurt people who don't renew their minds to God's Word. If you reprove somebody, that is walking in the love of God. They may get hurt and all mad at you, but it's not your fault. You walk in the love of God. So we need to continue to walk in love. We need to continue to focus our attention on the things of God and trust God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and keep God's Word first, because that's how we get to know God. And we have to realize that God's not a man that he should lie, not the son of man that he should repent. God is all good. He's spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And every bit of scripture is profitable in three ways. To believe rightly, when not believing rightly, and back to believing rightly. And it's profitable. And it helps. It will bless us as we renew our minds to it.